It's that time of year again. Schools are back in session. What makes this year different is youngsters born in the year 2000 make up the bulk of people entering college. Born into the new millennium, most students are probably facing the biggest challenge to their physical well-being, the customary military training for college freshmen. So this is, I suppose, something that is only familiar to Chinese students who've been through this. What is this military training, and what kind of content is included in the training course?
Yeah, when you say military training, it sounds so alien to what students have to go through, but actually it's a part of the education program or part of the curriculum for college students according to China's military service law and national defense education law. And China's military service law requires all college and university students to receive basic military training. And some high schools and even vocational high schools also host military trainings for the first grade students. So that makes two of my three military trainings that I've gone through in my life. I think in high school, in first grade of high school, I received military training. I think it was in 2000, and it was held in my high school in a small county, and we didn't have enough officers, so I guess the school borrowed some staff from village office of civil defense. Mm-hmm. So there's an organization under the administrative branch. So I remember my uncle was working for the office of civil defense in the village, and he was on loan and on the campus to train. Well, sadly, a different class. Otherwise, I was hoping for some preferential treatment, but I didn't get it.
Nepotism in military training.
Yeah, well, it was pretty basic. We were taught to standing for. Formation, yeah. in a square, and also practice like marching or different kinds of walking styles. All of this to sort of make you or make students be able to work in unison. Mm-hmm. When, for instance, when there are specific rules, like when there's only two of you working walking, and then you should be working in rows. Mm-hmm. Whereas if there's more than two, then you guys should be walking in files. And all of you have to move in unison. I mean, the hands should be on the same level, the head, the feet should move at the same space, same pace, that kind of thing. And also, I remember specifically being humiliated to a certain extent because one of the items on the curriculum was something I couldn't do. So basically, students were required to sit with the legs folded, mm-hmm. and then just that, without pushing with their hand. They have to use purely the strength of their feet to stand up.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I couldn't do that. Cross-legged. And then just totally use the strength of your legs to stand up.
But what's the point of that?
I don't know. except for humiliating people who can't do it. I don't see the point.
Oh, poor Lai Ming. You don't have to ask this, but I'm just going to throw the question out. Were you punished as a result of not being able to do that?
No, the officers certainly try to sort of push everybody to the point that they can do it. Oh. But in my case, I wasn't able to do it, possibly because calcium problem.
Okay, the lack of calcium in one's bones could result in, you know, not being able to perform certain of these
or lack of physical exercise.
You're just not supple enough, you know. If you're not used to sitting in certain positions, then you, obviously your muscles naturally don't train themselves to be able to be supple enough to carve themselves, for example. Yeah. But then I'm also curious, like, was this part of, you know, during the school hours, or was it were these boot camps done, you know, when schools are closed, for example, for a week, for a month?
It was a 2-week thing, and the school is closed. So the entire school hours are devoted into military training on campus, though.
Incredible.
Well, that's one way of doing it, mm-hmm. when you invite the military officers to the campus. Mm-hmm. But actually, I've been through this, too, twice. in Beijing.
Really?
Yeah. That was middle school and high school, yes. But we were being shipped to a special training base where it can accommodate thousands, if not tens of thousands, of students.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we were, I remember riding the coach and feeling rather nervous because I've always had a pretty sheltered life, I suppose, and I was nervous that I had to sleep in bunk beds.
Tents?
Well, not tents, but in a building, but with right. maybe 20 or 40 people in one room.
So, like, what you see in movies, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was worried that, for some really trivial things, actually, I was worried if the person that was sleeping in the upper bunk bed
would be
rather overweight and
well, that's potentially life-threatening.
And if that person turns a lot on the bed, and dust will come onto my face, and, you know, just I was just paranoid.
Right.
And I remember going to the military training camp, and the officer actually performed this whole routine of fighting techniques, and I looked at him thinking, wow, this is a military version of Jackie Chan. There's no way I can do all of that. And luckily, well, or maybe you can argue that, hey, this is probably what he's supposed to teach you, the fighting techniques of mm-hmm. self-defense.
Military style fighting or boxing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Called. And there's no way I can learn that within a year. And the training only happens for 2 weeks or a month, according to Chinese law. Mm-hmm. So instead, he taught us the marching styles and obeying orders and having to walk in the same pace and lifting your feet to exactly the same angle, height, with the rest of everybody in that one row.
And sometimes you have to sort of keep one foot stable mid-air while you're standing on one foot. So it can be very tiresome. Sometimes the officers require you to stand in that position for 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Non-stop.
And that's...
You keep in that position with one foot in mid-air and the other feet on the ground. Imagine
this
that.
This feels like prison in a way.
Well, prison probably...
I'm sure many students felt that way.
Well, it is certainly something that I don't think most students would have experienced prior. Because when most Chinese kids in our generation are the only child of their families, and then, you know, just sharing a room with 40 other people, sometimes sweating with, you know, smelly feet and all kinds of things.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be a new experience.
The most unfortunate experience I had was before I joined this company, CRI, and we were required to receive, say, a 1 month training, and we would shift to a military camp, and the officers were told to train us as if they would train a new soldier, and so the conditions were particularly harsh. We were told not to take showers for 3 days, until finally we protested because it was the middle of August. Everyone was sweating.
But what was the whole point of this? I mean, like, you, if you're coming to work for a broadcast station, what is the point of having a military training? And also, while you're at the military training, why not shower?
We were told that new soldiers who joined the military for the first time, the first year, newbies, they were not allowed to take showers for the duration of, I don't know how many days, because we protested, so we were given the right to take showers just in 3 days, but I don't know, it could be 5 days or a week, possibly. What's the point? I don't know, because many of us didn't see the point, but I suppose if you really dig deep into it, I suppose it's due to the sort of train your willpower or determination or the way to resist hardship.
Intolerance.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part, because with military training, there's not only this the teaching you how to march and those kind of things. And also, you need to keep the dormitories really clean.
Tidy.
Mm-hmm. And that, and the difficult part for a lot of people is to fold the duvet mm-hmm. into like a cube shape that so you know with sharp edges. You know how hard that is when the duvet is a soft thing.
Uh-huh.
Apparently that's what soldiers all do, and when you talk to Chinese people, the first thing comes to mind when
it comes to military training.
Yeah, that's what signifies the training that happens in the dormitory. So it's, I think, mainly these two parts. Either you're marching or being taught how to walk in a way that is...
standing attention.
Yeah, and there's the dormitory thing. So this has become, for people, less of military training as people think about...
More
you
about
know,
discipline.
About, like you said, discipline and hardship.
I do think they actually need to change the name from military because it really sounds harsh. It sounds to me like it's a place, you know, an alternative to jail for children. Why don't they call it something like a boot camp? You know, that would make a lot of sense to me, because when I heard about military training in primary school and high school, this is unheard of. But then the first thing I thought about, maybe this is more about teaching, you know, some indisciplined kids about self-control, responsibility, and respecting other authority and things like that. So for me, from all of you, what you've said, it reminds me in primary school and high school, where I come from, we used to have something called the Girl Guides, the Boy Scouts, and then for the lower primary kids, those below maybe 10 years old, then they were allowed to join a club called the Brownies. And you had to learn how to march, how to fold things, how to be disciplined, how to be on time, how to walk properly, how to sit, you know, all the basics of, you know, being an all-rounded kid, mm-hmm. including respect for authority and stuff like that. So you were trained, but it was not mandatory. They were made into sort of like it's a club, the same way you join a football club or a music club. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was part of the Girl Guides, and I quite liked it because of the, you know, the rules that there were, how to march, how to we were responsible for raising the flags on parade days and lowering the flag, and then folding the flag was also an art of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, when you compare the training course, I suppose it's similar, but
Not intentionally, because if you look at the curriculum for military training as per the law, then there are supposed to be much more items on the agenda than just marching and standing in formation. There's also, for instance, like training with light weapons, like survival skills, expedition, and basic tactics. I remember in the harshest military training that I had before joining this company, we were sent on a 10-kilometer hike. Sort of to in the segment of expedition, and in college we were trained to handle an old fashioned or outdated model of rifle, and also
that sounds pretty dangerous
with bayonet and stuff. And we were not lucky enough to have that, but I heard that previous generations of college freshmen were given the chance to sort of try shooting several bullets with using real guns.
Wow,
that sounds kind of dangerous.
Is that legal?
and guns aren't legal for civilians to carry, so
that's the sort of thing you have to go to a military camp to experience.
And I guess luckily I never had to experience that. And
I mean, when I just see a gun, like this morning I saw the military doing a drill outside, and I was really scared because they were carrying guns and running around the compound, and I was like, is it like, are we safe?
Well, that's, you know, what they do.
It was pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I cannot imagine like school children being able to, you know, handle like live ammunition and stuff.
No, we were
like
not school children because we were college freshmen.
You're still young at that age.
That's true. Yeah. That's why more and more schools, I think most schools wouldn't offer that item on the agenda any longer.
Yeah, and I think that's always been rare, actually. And also considering there are so many students, every year, I think these days we have like 8 million?
20 million?
Yeah, of students that get into colleges.
But you also have to consider freshmen in high school.
Yeah.
They also receive military training.
So when you add that number up, then there's not going to be enough guns to be given to people to practice, and that is extremely, extremely rare.
But on the other hand, I do think it's also quite a really practical program, especially it introduces young children, those who might be interested, to get an insight of, you know, if they're really interested in becoming serving officers and, you know, to serve the country and stuff like that. So on one hand, for me, it would be pretty scary for my child to go through that. But on the other hand, I would understand why it's also a requirement.
Yeah, college students, they are young men. So yeah, in case of emergency, they might be drafted or recruited into the military. But luckily, we're living in a peaceful time in general in Asia. So we didn't have to. But you can see how even in our neighboring country, like ROK, Republic of Korea, the men between the age of 20 and 30 are required to join the military. It's mandatory for at least 21 months.
Yeah, and actually here right now in China, because there has been a lot of discussion and certainly controversy as well that's surrounding military training, which takes place around this time of the year. And what are these controversial cases?
Well, abusive trainers, deaths, sick leaves, and controversies. For instance, like at a college in Xi'an, Shanxi province, the school equips the students with sunlight blocking uniforms. How lucky are those students? But this has aroused controversies. Some people commend the school for caring about the students, while others say it defeats the purpose of military training because the students are not tested enough. They haven't faced the hardship of standing in sunlight. And then there's about the abusive trainers. On August 31st, during a military training session at a senior middle school in Hanzhong City in Shanxi province, some students were forced by a trainer to taste kitchen waste because they wasted food. The trainer in question has since been fired. But we can tell in a lot of the cases, the abusive trainers or trainers who are not careful that gets people injured, they come from a private company that's been commissioned to provide military training service. Because like He Yang said earlier, every year about more than 20 million students in high school and in college receive training. And there's really not enough officials, officers in the military to provide that service. And this autumn, more than 840,000 officers from various divisions in the military have been assigned to almost 6 million students in 2,898 schools across the country. This year, we see a document specifically issued by the Central Military Commission saying that no market-oriented or profit-driven companies can get involved in the training of students, and specifically in military training.
Yeah, and certainly I think some of the things that's being handled in military training, you need professional soldiers to do that. It's not some private trainer that I just don't think would be accountable and knows exactly what should be done, that kind of thing. But one last question for you guys on this topic, that is, do you think that military training should stay, or is it kind of just out of date, not efficient?
I think personally, like I said, first of all, it needs to be changed from being called military training. It's not a military training to me. That's a boot camp, you know. That's where you take kids who, you know, who have perhaps emotional problems, behavioral problems, and in general, just trying to, it should be geared towards training students or the younger people, the younger generation, to be self-reliant, more responsible, very respectful, to be independent, rather than trying to scare them into doing things that after they leave, they haven't learned anything. When they leave, they look at the military as a completely different thing that they wouldn't want to do again. So for me personally, I would think it should be a place where you train people to be more adult-like, to be responsible, because these are the generation that's in between. They're not children and they're not adults yet. So it's a very confusing stage. So that's the point where they need to be trained to be that.
I'm also calling for a new interpretation of the so-called military training, because let's face it, it's national defense education. It's about, so when what the things that being taught to students, like standing formation or specifically hardships, that's not enough in case of emergencies. You want students to be able to react to emergencies, for instance, with foreign invasion or a disaster. So teach them private survival skills or how they should behave in case of emergency. I think that's more important.
Yes, I think one thing we can agree here is that the content of military training should certainly see a revamp and possibly even change the name to make it more favorable and just appealing, maybe. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.